first pitch is hit hard to center field in the air toward the gap. Sierra going back, looking up. That one's gone. Dansby Swanson with a two-run blast. It's 9-4. Fly ball hit to center off a cutter, hit deep, going back as Acuna at the wall. He's got it on the warning track, one step from the fence, and the Braves have grabbed game one. A six-run seventh inning, and the Braves, the energy level sky high after the hit batsman of Acuna in the bottom half of the third inning, and they made the Marlins pay dearly. Final score of game one, Braves 9, Marlins 5.
I knew he didn't hit him on purpose. With Acuna, he's a guy you can't just lay the ball out over the plate, you know. And obviously that ball I looked at it was a good ways in, but he's trying to run the ball off the plate in there or run it started on the plate, run it off. It got further out than what he wanted, or further in than what he wanted.
Rondo makes his move, drives again back to Davis. Davis for three, bang! Anthony Davis from downtown. Timeout, Miami. And that'll do it. The Lakers bounce back after that disappointing loss in Game 3 and are back in control of these NBA Finals. Anthony Davis, a slow start in this one after a rough Game 3. LeBron James, same thing, but both turned it on in the second half.
This was a throwback game, and there were some moments of truth, you know, there at the end. And probably the bottom line is they won those moments of truth. You know, we had some reads. You know, they are long, and they are an extremely good defensive team. So your windows happen much quicker. Thought we had some opportunities, but you do have to credit their defense, and they just made some more plays, you know, going down the stretch.
And with all of that, we say good morning to a long, long, long night and actually a very entertaining game. I know the Miami Heat came up short, but my gosh, came out fighting and looking real good, and you're thinking, man, this thing kind of goes the way it's going. Especially with the big two of the Lakers not doing much in the first half. I was feeling good last night. I was feeling good at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got away a little bit with a handful of plays, even though with about 6 minutes to go, that's anybody's ball game. Well, actually, even later than that. But the Heat now down 3-1. We'll break it all down. Got a lot of stuff to get to, all the plays. Give me one play, Zach, one play that kind of, when you went to bed, kind of stood out. Go ahead. Give me one.
Okay. Towards the end of the game and that last couple minutes. You
can give me two if you want.
No, it's okay. You know, Anthony Davis not having a big game. He had, 17 points at the time or whatever. That big three at the end of the game with a couple minutes left, that was just it literally just poked me right in the eye. That's what I felt like it happened to me at that point. Because Anthony Davis was not having one of those games. He did play a lot in that game last night. I think he led the entire game minutes played outside of Jimmy Butler. I think he played 42. But that three-pointer at the end of the game just poked me in the eye. It stunk. That's what really happened to me.
All right. For me, Jimmy Butler missed that three wide open and would have put him in the lead with about 3.5 minutes left.
Right.
He misses it. They get the rebound, get it out to Caldwell Pope. He knocks down a three. So instead of being up
huge
one,
turnaround. Right.
You're down five.
Right.
You know, it's a two possession game. So that kind of stuck. Woody, anything stick out there last night, man, watching that
game?
Yeah,
I mean, Joe, that was the obvious turning point, that shot, no question. But to me, it was the offensive rebounding from the Laker guards. I mean, Rondo coming in there, keeping plays alive, I think really killed the Heat in that game.
Yeah. By the way, you're right. Their two reserve guards had huge offensive rebounds, too, last night. That'll be kind of forgotten because we get so busy talking about LeBron going to the basket hard and making a lot of free throws and I tell you, AD had four blocks, and some of them around the basket were really impressive. If you're wondering why, I believe he was runner-up to the Defensive Player of the Year and could easily won it. You kind of saw that, and they put him on Jimmy Butler, who got off to a great start and then just kind of disappeared for most of the game. Listen, man, I thought last night was pretty cool. At one point, you look – LeBron and AD taking Jimmy and Bam. It was like the four of them were playing a 2-on-2, man. Right, they're like, all right, there ain't no zone tonight. We're playing man-to-man. And AD and LeBron got after pretty good. But, yeah, Jimmy got off to a great start. You're like, wow, could this be – can he keep it up and keep this thing going?
And, but I, yeah, and I questioned the fact in the beginning of the game, and obviously it jumped back at me towards the end, but Anthony Davis would start off the game on Jimmy Butler. I thought that I didn't know what was going to end up happening there, if Anthony Davis was going to be able to defensively just hold on to Jimmy Butler early, and Jimmy lit him up early, so it was interesting.
So my take, one thing that hurts Jimmy, and he, listen, he has been sensational. Can't say enough about him. I mean, welcome to the Heat family, man. You're right there at the top in the VIP room right now. You're sitting with all the really good players. You're not just another guy coming here on a big contract. So I don't want to say that. But Jimmy just can't. And I can tell you, the scouting report has let Jimmy shoot threes. And if he makes one or two, it's like Dwayne, nothing against those guys. You want to shoot. I know they've made some big ones. But last night it was like, go ahead. I just think that hurts his game a little bit. Go to the basket. But the other thing is AD is so long. I mean, they're so doing reverse layups, thinking it's got a chance to go, and he just, that big, long, athletic body goes up and blocks shots. He ended up with four of them last night.
But huge blocks, not just little. You're right on that one. He had four really key blocks in that game, too, which is crazy.
And the other thing, listen, it was a great game. Like, if you're just watching and ESPN is going, you know, I know they wanted the Heat to win, you know, but so did we. But it was a competitive game. It was a great game. They made all the big plays at the end of the game. No question about it. But, man, that game could have gone. And, again, I'm not blaming Jimmy Butler, but he gets a wide open look. And the only thing I can think of, that's one of the guys I really don't want to have to take that corner three. You know, you're thinking of all the other guys. And by the way, Hero is just hitting – ridiculous shots last night. I mean, he is just, he's been fun. They interview him. Now, isn't it kind of funny, since we've gotten the bubble, how the national perception is of Tyler Hero now?
Right.
I think it's pretty interesting. Like Rachel Nichols, right before the game, they're going, all right, we're going to go down to Tyler Hero joins us. Yeah, you know, and you know, you're 20 years old, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're, you know, and they're talking about him nonstop, and he's got to do more for us to talk about him this way. And I'm like, Tyler Hero, man, stock's going up, good-looking kid. Go make yourself some off-season money, man, with fun, just seems to enjoy himself. Nothing's too big for him. I mean, he threw up a couple of shots. You couldn't throw him up any higher without hitting the ceiling on some of the shots he threw up over some of the big guys.
That one floater looked like it was about 25 feet in the air. Yeah.
Well, he threw a jumper at the top of the key over a couple of guys, and you're like, this had air ball potential. Like, you threw it up a little higher than normal, man, like about 6 feet. But anyway.
A little erratic, too, right? We're not just, I mean, I'm praising Tyler because he had some big shots.
Overall, he gets his cold. Yeah. He goes cold for a while. Yeah, he goes cold. But doesn't it seem like he kind of keeps you in the game where you're looking bad, and then all of a sudden he hits that three,
right,
and you're two or three points down again, you're one possession down. He seems to be, like, when you look back, and I know they're not game winners, but boy, he's hit some shots where you're going, hey, we're still alive, thank you, let's do it. We got a lot of stuff to get to here today. I don't know how much of the Marlins game you guys got a chance to watch yesterday. Actually, a really fun game, and I gotta tell you, it feels like watching the Marlins and Braves, who played each other a bunch during the 60 game season, being in the same division. But last night was a pretty good game. Actually, Marlins are up in that game 4-3 through six innings, and that's, by the way, they end up lose 9-5, which everybody knows. But what you know now after Hollywood's headlines. But I look at the other part of that, and everybody's talking about one of the big stories in sports last night. Ronald Acuna Jr., no matter what anybody wants to say, and did you guys see it before I get into it? Did you get a chance to see it?
Yes.
Woody, did you see the – so the guy
– I did, Joe.
Ronald Acuna Jr. hits a home run, watches it, and flips the bat. And I'm thinking, okay – old school, you get hit every time. But it's a new time. We got some big personalities. It, by the way, does not bother me as an old guy, or even one step further, an old white guy. Does not bother me this guy is one of the most talented young players in baseball. I mean, he is just sensational. Hits the home run. So, you know what happens next at bat? He catches himself in a contra 97-mile-an-hour fastball,
right,
somewhere between the rear end and the back. Not exactly sure. And, of course, it's not the first time this has happened. And so the Braves are upset because he's one of their two or three best players. They've got three. They got a big three as good as anybody offensively in baseball. But their manager, you know, and Don Mattingly, he's like every manager. By the way, have we ever had a manager come out and say, you know, my pitcher hit him on purpose? Yeah, we had to throw at him. He hit a home run, and he broke one of the rules. It's always, oh, you know what? The pitch got away. Yeah, it was a little inside, but we got to pitch him inside. Guy's such a great hitter. We have never, ever had a manager in the 9 million years that baseball's been around since Babe Ruth was playing it, never had a manager come out, even guys that would be 190 years old right now, and say, you know, we threw at that son of a gun on purpose. He broke one of the rules of baseball. So he got plunked, and he's been plunked a lot, you know, and I guess more by the Marlins than anybody else. He does like to watch his work when he hits it, whether it's right center, left center. I mean, the kid has got ridiculous talent. So I just got a kick out of it last night as both managers were upset. Don Mattingly saying, hey, you know, we got to pitch inside. Pitch might have got away a little bit more inside than we wanted. You know, like, come on, man.
I like that, though.
I would have felt a lot better if the guy, like, grounded out in the first inning, you know, so we didn't have to go through this. But knowing the history of baseball and knowing it still bothers other teams, it bothers all-age pitchers. I don't care what they say. We're going to have Al Leiter on. One of the great Marlin pitchers in World Series history for the Marlins, going to join us later in the show. I don't care what any of those guys say. Nice guys, Kevin Brown, mean, ornery, miserable guys. They don't like some guy hitting a home run and then watching it.
Watching it go out of the park, right.
And then flipping that damn bat, looking at the dugout. So now they take it as you're friggin' hit it. And now you're taunting me. Now I'm standing out here and I got to watch your ass. I can't even watch you jog around the bases because I got to watch your show for 10 seconds first. So anyway, I always get a kick out of it.
Old school baseball.
Well, listen, man, some guys still bothered. You know, there's always this, and there's a lot more at stake right now. These two teams know each other. Actually, over the last few years, the Braves have beat up on the Marlins pretty good. Pretty good as the best team. They're still it's a best of five, which is good news for the Marlins. But yeah, I got a kick out of that play because it's like we'll never know, right? Because after the game, Alcantara's like, if he wants to fight, I'll fight him. He act like he wanted to come. You want to fight? Let's fight. Well, I'm not backing down.
Do you see his social media after the game as well, right?
Yeah, I did.
They have to hit me because they don't get me out.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's not going to go over well.
And he said, I want to apologize for nothing.
Right,
flipping the bat and watching it. Like, I'm like, oh man, setting your for another black and blue mark, man, on your ass, man, today, or high hip or something in the back of the leg. Hopefully it's not high. Cause I don't wish high pitches. You don't have a whole hell of a lot of time to get out of the way.
Reaction. Right.
By the way, speaking of baseball, and I watched a lot of baseball yesterday, did anybody catch Stanton's home run that he hit?
Oh, my goodness.
They're still looking for it.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, he hit another one yesterday?
Oh,
he hit two,
goodness.
By the way.
Oh, okay.
He hit two, they lost.
I didn't see it.
But he didn't get hurt.
Oh, he made it around the bases, too. Wow.
Right. But no, seriously, he hit
that ball went 8,000 feet. Right?
I think they ended up, they had it at 450 or 460 feet.
God.
But it's still coming down. They're looking for it in somebody's suite right now or in the restaurant, something, because that ball went places no other man that's listening to this show has ever gone.
That guy could just stay healthy, right?
Well, listen, man, if you can't stay healthy,
I know,
when you DH, Zach, and you don't have to run out on the field. No, I'm serious. Zach,
you're right.
He doesn't have to play right field. By the way, he wasn't a bad right fielder for the Marlins. Had a, you know, has a really good arm. I thought he was getting pretty good. Looked like he worked at it. And now you hit, and then you watch all the other guys making all that money. You're sitting in there. I always wonder, like, dude, does any part of you, like, usually guys getting paid this amount of money get to play. I mean, I can't imagine just sitting in there waiting for your next at bat, waiting for the guys to come in off the field. Just crazy, crazy. All right. But he hit two, man. He hit one. That's
Monsters.
That's why you buy that ticket, man, to see that one. Like, holy smokes. Did that thing just take off? All right. Hey, man.
Boy, it's amazing how quickly your tune changes.
With what now?
With Stan. You're just a complete and utter fraud, but that's okay.
What do you mean? Well, I'm not sure why.
I mean, you dog the guy all year, and then he shows up in the postseason and does this. And you kiss his ass, but that's okay.
I'm not kissing his ass. He did something that he hit a ball last night that we don't see travel like that. I don't know if that's kissing ass. When I see something, whether you like a player or not, or whatever you think of the guy, Woody, I don't know why you think it's hate. It's just the guy did something freakish. If some guy that is kind of a turd goes for 80 points in a game and misses three shots and takes 30 shots, I mean, and you go, wow, you, and it's something you're going, I may never see anything, and there's nobody watching that can ever do anything like this. It's pretty scary. It's pretty, you're going, wow, okay, I applaud you on that one, man. That's big time stuff. Not everything's love and hate, Woody. I know you think everything gets back to hate, bro. You're a little hater. You're a little young hater.
Zach,
here.
Can you help me out on this one with him?
Sleep,
him
jerky.
With Stanton? I mean, come on. Joe, you brought
Stanton?
The guy up. Every time the guy would get hurt, you'd bring him up just to throw it in my face.
Well, because you were carrying on, and like the next day after you talked about his greatness, he was jogging around the bases and like was injured for like
tweaked
a month
ankle.
And a half.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and you had it cocked and loaded, ready to laugh
at
it.
I will tell you one thing. My man doesn't heal real fast. I will tell you, for a young athletic guy,
right,
we might have to get him on one of those health gains programs. Hey, right now I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealer here. First thing in the morning, I know I'm running a little bit late, but hey, the boss won't get up for another 3 hours. We're good to go this morning. But I will tell you, when it comes to your South Florida Chevy dealers, they should be up. They should be excited. Not about watching a great basketball game last night, but getting a chance to go out and sell and talk about what your South Florida Chevy dealers have in 2020. Best overall cars, trucks, and SUVs ever, man. They got it figured out. They've listened to people through the years. And, man, if you haven't been to one of our many South Florida Chevy dealerships, you're going to love what you see. The new Tahoes, Suburbans, all the different Silverado trucks to fit your lifestyle. I call them almost custom-made trucks for you, because whatever it is you're looking for in a truck, they got for you. Big enough for the whole family, full-time working trucks, durable, can handle anything for you. And how about the smaller SUVs, like the 2020 Traverse? Boy, I'll tell you what, it's a midsize SUV, but it's spacious enough to accommodate the big family and doesn't compromise any of the style. How about our smaller SUV, the Equinox SUV? Oh, gosh, it's got it all. The new technology, active safety features, really is fun to drive. And finally, that 2020 Chevy Blazer is a must-take for a test drive. First of all, it is just like you walk through a Chevy dealership and you see it and you go, I got to take it for a drive. It's beautiful, man. It is so much fun. Hey, find your reason to switch at your local South Florida Chevy dealer. Convenient locations in Dade, Broward, and Monroe counties. Find new roads at your South Florida Chevy dealer today. Get a great deal, too.
We know we got to be better. We know that we can be better, as I've been saying this entire time. We show glimpses of it, and then we make some crucial mistakes, whether it be on the defensive end or the offensive end, and beat ourselves in the end. But like I always say, they're a really, really, really good team. We got to play damn near perfect to beat them. We didn't do that tonight. Move with a purpose, screen a little bit better, and make some shots. It's going to be some tough ones. They're contesting every shot. I don't know what everybody's average wingspan is, but it's going to be tough. I just think that we got to do better getting ourselves in triggers, myself, Bam, Tyler, Duncan, and take it from there. But we'll watch this, learn from it, but we can't lose another one.
Jimmy Butler. Talking about, man, that's a long team. Try getting a shot off or getting a rebound with those guys around, especially AD, man. That is, and he's right. And I say one thing about Jimmy Butler, man. He's still going, you know, this thing ain't over. I mean, we just got to get it together a little bit. We'll make some shots, a little better screens. He's already breaking it down what happened in those last five or six minutes where, you know, Bam takes his shot. He makes it, but they review it. Doesn't get it off in time. Just little things, you know, that took place last night. It just seemed to be the Lakers' offensive rebounds to getting, you know, drive to the basket. They're playing good defense, and all of a sudden Caldwell Pope takes it hard to the basket and ends up getting an easy layup. Duncan Robinson just a split second late.
Yeah, you could see the replay was just crazy on that one, too. He literally was off by, like, if his finger was just a little bit longer, he might have blocked that shot.
Hey, man, Caldwell Pope was just sensational, hitting the three, like I said, on the play. Instead of going up one on a Jimmy Butler three, he misses it. They get it out quickly. Caldwell Pope goes down in the corner and makes it, and all of a sudden it's a five-point game. Just, you know, a switch, one of the plays that we're all talking about. And LeBron and AD just picked it up, and honestly, they played like the two best players in the game, especially in the second half, where I think LeBron and AD both had, what, eight at the half, and then ended up with, especially LeBron ended up with 20, 11 in the fourth, 20 in the second half, so a lot of different plays, and the matchups, it was just last night, it's like, all right, I'm going to take you, you can cover me, and here we go. So I thought the matchups were pretty interesting with Bam and Jimmy and LeBron and AD really going at it, especially late in that game and trying to cover those threes. Tell you what, Lakers defense probably didn't give enough credit, because if the Heat made threes last night, they had to earn them. They had to do like that Duncan Robinson. Did he call a bank? Did any of you guys hear bank?
I heard it.
Oh, you did? Did you hear that? Or backboard, bank?
Right. I heard bank. Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give him that credit. Yep.
That was a hell of a shot, man, getting that off.
We needed that one, too, by the way. That was a big one.
So, anyway, it was entertaining, man. We'll find out what everybody thinks this morning. 305-567-0560. Now down 3-1.
Joe, do I sound too petty if I say this morning after watching last night's game that maybe I didn't realize it when he was with us, LeBron James, for 4 years? I say us, meaning the Miami Heat, when he was our guy. Does he complain after every time he takes the ball to the hoop if he doesn't get a foul call? I mean, every single time, not some of the time, not once in a while, but it just seems like every time he drives the ball to the hoop, whether he makes the shot or not, there's some sort of scream at the ref come out after.
Yeah, he does complain a lot. He complains to
matter of fact. Did I not notice that a lot when he was
sometimes,
here? Or...
And by the way, he got called out at halftime. I was shocked.
I know.
I couldn't remember now who said it at halftime, but they were like, stop whining and get back on defense, man.
Right.
Like, you got to stop complaining. I was like, you know, when you're a guy and barely had a sniff in the NBA because of injuries, and you're calling out a guy about get your ass back, and you start talking about one of the great players. I agreed with him, by the way. Like, yep. It doesn't matter who you are. The calls aren't going to change.
Just seems like it's every play for him, though.
Yeah. Hey, listen, he got fouled. He thought he got fouled by Jay Crowder a couple of times.
And right.
He was a little salty. Now, he doesn't ever go overboard and throw a punch or anything. But
he got in Jay's face, but Jay's
he
not
got in Jay's
of that
face.
Guy.
No, right.
It is annoying. You see the replay, and he doesn't really get hit, and he gets up like he's just
right,
been.
That's it.
He's done that his entire career, and to me, and I told you guys before the series started, that's the blueprint to beating LeBron is just to get up on him and foul his ass hard because he just doesn't like it. He just is a.
But,
you know, for lack of a better word, he's a bitch when it comes to that stuff.
Well, but he taught his teammates how to do it, too, because Caruso looked like he can get an Academy Award last night also.
Well, Caruso's a professional flopper. He's in that group. But, I mean,
I
LeBron's always been
out.
Like that. And, Joe, by the way, I found a hack here. If you start the game, if you DVR it and you start it 15 minutes late and watch it live, you don't have to watch halftime.
Right.
So if you start watching at 9:15 and just watch the whole thing like you're not fast-forwarding until you hit halftime, you don't have to watch halftime. It's the most amazing hack, and I've been trying the entire playoffs to time this thing out perfectly. I did it last night. It was just worked beautifully. Yep. No was, Paul Pierce, no Jay Will, no Jalen, nothing. It was just beautiful.
Do they all drive you nuts, both you guys?
They all suck equally. I mean, they it is the worst show, worst sports show on television. It's not even close.
I'm going to be honest with you, watching a big game like that or even watching, you know, a Dolphin game on Sunday, whatever the case may be, I usually just watch the halftime just to see what they're going to say about what happened in the game. I get up or move, and I don't watch the pregame either. I have no use for that pregame either on the ESPN. I think the entire ESPN broadcast outside of, I know Hollywood's not going to like this, I do like the three broadcasters, but outside of that, it's unwatchable. It's unlistenable.
Well, here's what the case may be, Zach. If you start the game at 9:15, that's the way to do it.
Okay.
Missed the entire halftime. Right. Just fast forward right through that thing. I put it on 4X. Don't even see their stupid faces. Right to the second half. Bang.
As Mike Breen would say.
I'm telling you what they said at half. They got after, Jay Will got after LeBron for complaining so much and said, get back and start playing and stop complaining so much. They got quick comments in there on everything, but.
You can't figure out DVR, so I wouldn't expect you to skip it. You just fill us in on what they say.
You're my halftime show.
Yeah. So, Joe's like, DVR, I don't know that.
I will just tell you guys this all the time while you guys are making your comments and stuff, but like nothing bothers me that much. Even if I don't like their personalities, I still want to hear what they have to say because I do know and realize they know more about basketball than I do.
Okay.
And they're seeing things. They played. And so I do have, whether you like them or not, just for me, and you guys have sound off, you can't listen and you can't watch. And I just refuse. Like, I do like to see, cause you know, they'll bring up a point. Like I was shocked Jay Will said that about LeBron. I mean, that stood out at half, like stop complaining, man, and whining and get back. And I was like, wow, he just called out the second best player, the best player to ever play this freaking
good
wherever
for
you
Jay
put
Williams,
him.
Right.
Yeah, so I didn't mind. Paul Pierce, like, here's the other part. Like, so everybody gets mad at Paul Pierce, but then, because you're like, is he going to rip our team again? And it's like people are listening to see and watching to see if he's going to blast or what comment
watching.
Or if he's going to say something you think is stupid. You're still watching. But I do agree. Listen, that show has nothing to do. Not even, like, when one car's in the fast lane going 90, like TNT show, and that ESPN show is back on the back roads of 27, liquored up going about 15 miles an hour at 3 in the morning. I mean, it's got nothing in common, man. It's
just trying not to get pulled over, right?
Yeah, it's just right. I agree. They're struggling with it. Honestly, she's the best thing on that show.
Right, you're right.
Everybody,
you're actually
I think she's really talented. Was it Maria Taylor?
Mm-hmm.
I think she's really good at all sports. Like, she's really worked it. And
no, she is good. And you notice I didn't mention her name. It's just those other losers, those former players they have on there. Woj is fine, too, by the way. I like Woj, but the rest of that crew just sucks. Mark Jackson included, man. Throw Mark Jackson's ass in that group, too. He sucks.
What do those guys do? Those guys
are the three broadcasters.
I don't get it. Like, why? Like, what do you want them to be like where you're going to like them, the analysts for the game? Because you seem to like most of the play-by-play guys, but you complain.
Mike Breen is fantastic. I mean, he's just great. But
well, I'm glad you like
him. The rest of it is just, yeah, I mean, again, you start the game at 9:15, fast forward, you're good to go. You don't have to hear what Paul Pierce has to say about the game in the middle of the game.
You would admit that.
I've never
Pierce
been watching a
know.
Basketball game and been like at halftime, man, I just need to know what Paul Pierce thinks about this. Like, do you see yourself after the second quarter? Like, man, I need to know what Jason Williams thinks about this game right now.
So you watch the game, and then you want to hear between all the commercials what those guys have to say and what they're seeing in the game from usually the best players, what you need to get. You know,
if TNT was smart, they'd stick it to him and do like an internet show or something during halftime and pregame for 20 minutes.
Can I give you the best
NBA
comment?
TV, right.
We got to go to break. Best comment I heard last night. I heard Van Gundy say, I think this looks pretty good for the Lakers considering AD has 8 points and LeBron has 8 points and they're leading. Like, they're going to play a lot better in the second half, and they did. That was the comment. That was a comment going into the half right there before they threw it to the halftime show. That was the comment. Like, I was thinking the same thing. I go, my God, if we thought AD and LeBron were going to come out on fire, and right. LeBron has five turnovers, you're going, my God, he's doing it again. He didn't shoot the ball well. And AD didn't really have that much to do with the game. And I'm thinking 16 between those two guys. And then Stan goes, boy, or Stan, Jeff says, they're in pretty good shape because those guys, they're leading.
Haven't done much yet, right?
And the two big dogs, they're going to go off. And they did in the second half. All right, man, we got to get to a break here.
Who was it that Barry was? Was it Jay Will that Barry was ripping the other day? And on Twitter, did you see that? Zach probably saw it on Twitter. Guy comes into the broadcast. Oh, the series is over. I mean, ratings are down, my friend. Like, you may want to get people to stick around here a little bit.
Yeah, man. By the way, that story.
Like, don't start a broadcast saying that this game isn't worth watching. Basically, give us a little juice to keep us around, my man. Like, there's a lot of people that don't have a dog in that fight. Like, try to keep people around.
Barkley's the only way we can get away with that.
Yeah, I mean, the Heat fans and Laker fans are going to watch, but the ratings suck. Like, I don't know. Whatever.
I always wonder, it's a great question, if the ESPN folks ever say, hey, guys, I get that it's the Heat and they don't have the star power and it doesn't look good, but, like, let's talk more about matchups and less that this is going to be over quickly,
this series.
Like, we got a lot of money. We got to reach certain numbers to get full pay on these spots that we're running nationally, from Corona and McDonald's, I'm loving it, and everybody else. Like, let's go ahead and leave that part out. Let's leave that to Charles Barkley can do that.
Right.
You can't. Right. All right, we got to go to break, man. A lot more stuff to get to. Very good point, though. I know Woody was all fired up about the NFL NBA ratings, talking about that yesterday. We'll come back. Got a lot more stuff to get to, including perfection from four. I'll explain when we get back. All right. Oh, we lost a good one, man. Eddie Van Halen passed away, age 65, for anybody that remembers or listens to the Van Halen band, still performing. A lot of those guys in their 60s and 70s, but some classics, David Lee Roth. Anyway, I went to the concert, so I remember. I don't know what year. I don't remember much about the concert, but we used to go to all those. I know you guys don't remember. Anybody out there remember the old Hollywood Sportatorium?
I just remember hearing about it.
That was the place, man. And it was in the 80s, and, like, during a break, I remember going out. We'd walk out, and it looked like a big drug party. Like, I mean, it was, what do you want? I don't know. It was a little crazy back
then.
Well,
you talked about the Hollywood Sportatorium, and it closed in 1988, it looks like. And I'm looking, and there's a list online of the concerts before it was closed. And we're not talking about B-listers.
Hollywood Sportatorium had the A-list of A-listers. Yes. I saw Journey there when they were hot. All of them. My little sister came back and stayed with me, and I saw some teeny bopper groups there. Man, no, if you were hot at the time for any age, they were rocking and rolling. Jefferson
AC/DC,
Starship.
AC/DC, Aerosmith, Rush, Def Leppard, Whitney Houston, Guns N' Roses, Motley Crue. These are some of the last concerts that were at the Sportatorium in the last, like, 2 years. Poison, Billy Idol, even Neil Diamond, Billy Joel.
Yeah.
Like, wow. I didn't even
That was the place,
that.
Man. And I don't even know where it would be today. Like, you guys were asking me. I said, man, it's so built up out west, I couldn't even tell you. I can't remember when my townhouse used to drive out to get to the townhouse when I was 22 years old. I can't remember now where it is. I probably drive by it all the time and have no friggin' idea.
It says it was an indoor arena in Pembroke Pines, Florida, located at 17171 Pines Boulevard. And when you look at the map, it looks like it was just off Pines and 75 going west, a little bit west there near where Flanagan's is now.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So It's just amazing to me that it was a rock mecca, right?
At the time, you felt like you had to drive a couple of miles in the middle of nowhere to get there.
Well, it wasn't built up, Joe. You could say that. You know about how like what it looked like west in the early 80s and even the mid 80s, what's west of 75 or west of any of that looked like. It looked like nothing.
Right. I remember when people started buying all that land out west, people were going, what are you doing, man? Like, right. There's nothing out there but horses and, you know.
Close to the Everglades. Everyone thought that was the close to the Everglades at that point, so, right?
But anyway, that was one of the stories.
Yeah, big loss for rock and roll yesterday, no doubt.
Other story, just looking at, I teased a little bit about perfection. You know, we talk about this quarterback thing all the time. We actually have talked about this quarterback thing for the last 20 years here in South Florida, trying to find that guy. And I was looking yesterday after four full weeks of football now in. There is four quarterbacks that have just taken it to a new level. Josh Allen, 12 touchdowns, one interception. Just remarkable turnaround from where he's been. And I mean, give that guy credit. Plus, he's got better weapons, but he's throwing it a lot better. Russell Wilson, 16 touchdowns, two picks. Aaron Rodgers, 13 touchdowns, zero picks. And Patrick Mahomes, 11 touchdowns and zero picks. This is through a quarter of the season. And the one thing they all have in common, their teams are all undefeated. Just to tell you the importance of those quarterbacks who seem to be playing at a little different level, because I know everybody's got their favorite MVP and who it should be, and you know, and it'll all play out because all those guys are going to have a shot if their teams keep playing well and they keep putting it up. But you start doing the math, like Josh Allen's on pace for 48 touchdowns. Russell Wilson's on pace for like 60-something touchdowns. Right. Aaron Rodgers is on pace for 50. Patrick Mahomes, it's just the numbers these guys are putting up are just ridiculous. And obviously a lot of them outside Aaron Rodgers got a lot of weapons. I guess Aaron Rodgers might be one of the most impressive just because.
Who he's throwing the ball to, you mean?
Yeah, he just, yeah, right. I mean, he's got, exactly. Now he's got a really good, he's got a special two-way running back that nobody talks about. Nobody, when they talk about, I'm sure they do in fantasy football, but we get talking about McCaffrey and Barkley and, you know, we start talking about some of these guys and sometimes we forget about him and he is, he pretty special. He's about seems like every game he's 130 to 150 total yards himself.
Right.
But Aaron Rodgers, man, whatever he evaluated, that self-evaluation he said he did, and not lack of confidence as well for things he's been able to do. And the other story, of course, we've got a big game Saturday night. Don't want to forget about that, man, the Canes and Clemson. Can't wait to see what's going to happen. Now, I want to tell you, the Canes are 14 and a half point underdogs. So, I mean, everybody's excited to see where the Canes are, but the people that do this for a living, they don't think this is going to be a very close game.
Nope, they do not. And so, a high-scoring game. High-scoring and not very close.
Yeah. I just, like everybody else, chance to kind of kick back and go, all right, I want to see how our talent matches up with their talent. See how the new offensive system put in, how it does against Clemson. I say this, and I don't mean it as a shot. Clemson is doing more national recruiting at a higher level. No secret, coming off the seasons they've had, the last, what, 5, 6, 7 years they've had, compared to what the Miami Hurricanes did, getting 6 wins last year. So they're in a different place. So I just want to see what that means with actual talent, where one team is, I mean, you can look at the roster, and they've got a lot of guys that were top recruits at their position in the country. They're the Ohio State and Alabama and Clemson seem to be kind of the big three. I hate to kind of leave anybody out if you want to put Georgia in there yet. and some of the other SEC schools that are a little bit behind. But Clemson, to me, just watching this recruiting stuff, we'll talk to Blue about it on Friday, seems to me that Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State still, they kind of have their own little party when it comes to recruiting on the real big-time coast-to-coast national guys from California to anywhere else in the country where football is big. So
Joe, that's what happens when for the last 5 or 6 years you're either in the championship game.
No, or, that's what know, I said. Like, yeah,
like
that's it.
That's just what happens. I mean, like you could ask those other schools you mentioned are those three right there: Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson. I think they've been in basically every playoff since the playoffs started. It's just ridiculous, but that's just what happens. You like you say all the time about Alabama. If you're a big time wide receiver right now, and you see what happened with the wide receivers from Alabama the last couple of years, you're going to want to go to Alabama. If you're a defensive lineman right now, whether you're on the inside or outside, wouldn't you want to go to Clemson or Alabama, seeing how many first-round picks have come out of there? Or Clemson, Ohio State?
Clemson was able to, when they lost their all their defensive linemen, basically went in the first round, including Christian Wilkins, one we grabbed. They just reloaded with five-star guys, some of the best defensive tackles, said, I want to go there because I can play right away on a really good football team. And, yeah, guys want to go where they see guys get drafted and have a chance to be a three-and-out guy. And if you've got a history of that, there's a good chance the next dude's going, man, I'm the best in the country in my position. I'm going there because they've already got a history of same goal I've got, three-and-out. Get to the NFL. Anyway, that's going to be a great test. I just look at the whole thing. Obviously, the quarterback's probably pretty close to a slam dunk first overall pick. And I think it's going to make the draft really interesting, especially if the team that ends up with the first pick is still believing in their quarterback and believe they just need more talent around them. I just think some people are going to jump up and offer a record amount of picks for Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, we got to see how he plays and stuff and all the things he can do. And they also have what might be the first running back taken in the NFL draft, too. I mean, it's hard for me to imagine too many backs. I'm still shocked he came back. I still
right do him not and the quite, Alabama running back also. Right?
I get quarterback had to come back. He didn't have a choice because this is only his third year, which really sounds weird. Right. Seems like he's been there 5 years with all the games he's played. But the running backs, I still don't understand the Alabama and Clemson running backs coming back. Probably going to be second round picks with the whole batch, you know, of other guys that went between. Well, Moss dropped into the third round, but those guys are all, they knew they were going to not only make teams to play right away. I'm always shocked when a guy's like, look at, unless you are super, super, super special, we ain't going to see a lot of running backs going in the first round anymore. With the injury bug and things that have happened to some of the top guys, matter of fact, two of those top running backs aren't even playing right now. And this is what everybody's afraid of. And what happened to Barkley and McCaffrey is not good for the future of the running back position in college football. It's just not. Mm. Everybody's going, that's why I don't want to take a guy in the first round. That's why. They're special. But when they get hurt, you're in big, big trouble.
To the next guy, right?
Yeah. Hey, we got to go to break here, man. We're running super late. Someday I'm going to get a clock in here, and Woody won't have to always tell me I'm 5 minutes late, but... Hey, we got a lot of stuff to get to here at 7 o'clock. A lot more on the Miami Heat and a tough loss last night in the last few minutes of the game. Played them tough, came up short, now down 3-1. We'll have more on that. And the old bat flip and getting hit in the back when you watch your home runs a little too long and then everybody says it's just the pitch that just got away. We'll have more on all that stuff coming up. I want to talk before we get to 7 o'clock hour about something really important. Sports-related injuries, because sooner or later, no matter what, they happen to everybody. Everybody. I don't care how good you are. I don't care if you're playing a team sport, individual sport. I don't care if it's your kids or if it's you. Everybody wants to go see the best doctors to get the best results. If you need a surgery or you need to get a second opinion, you want somebody you want to go where the pros go, number one. And number two, you want to go with doctors that have great experience and a lot of success. And that's what you get with one of the top sports medicine programs in the country right here in our backyard. I love talking about them. I know all the doctors. And I got to tell you, man, those guys are good. Miami Orthopedics and Sports Medicine Institute is actually ranked top 50 best orthopedic hospitals in the nation by U.S. News and World Report. When people ask me, Joe, where do the pros? I get it almost every day. Can I get in to see those doctors? Yes, they take care of Inter Miami, Miami Heat, the Panthers, and the Miami Dolphins. These are great doctors. Some of the top specialists in the country have all come down here, not only for lifestyle, but to build one of the great sports medicine programs. There's a reason so many top professional athletes and college athletes from all over the country come here for a second opinion to get their surgeries done, get proper rehab, and get back out playing the sports they love the most. Listen, you're going to love the work they do at Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables. The new facility going up at Hard Rock Stadium is spectacular. They've got an office. Dr. Schwartzen's up there in Broward County. I mean, these guys are first class, really, really good. Going to keep you healthy, get you back playing the sports you love. Visit BaptistHealth.net/ortho to make an appointment today.